episode 452, Indiana Jones and the Return of Harrison Ford, and other news.
Yeah, he's back, everyone.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and I am very happy to be back here.
Back from vacation.
Back from vacation.
A vacation I was almost on.
Yes.
So at the end of this episode, we'll get Ben's vacation update during story time.
Yeah, you don't want to miss this.
All right, so, but before that, let's talk about our top news, which is Indiana Jones 5, Harrison Ford coming back to play the main character, Steven Spielberg coming back. What do you think?
I just wish that we could just let things be good. You know, just that was fun, and now we're done. It even rhymes. I think that should be our the pop culture chant. That was fun, and now we're done. We don't need to just run everything into the ground. I guess it's a good sign that George Lucas isn't involved, because he's kind of a hack. On the other hand, he didn't write or direct the last one, and that has in the past been his forte when he is an idea man. And I forget who the guy's name is, but Spielberg is bringing back the guy who wrote Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So I think it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I've heard that what's his name? David.
I think it's Coop.
Yeah.
Coop. Coop.
Coop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's K-O-E-P-P. I heard he was coming back and people were saying, oh, he did Crystal Skull, but he also did the very first Spider-Man, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. He wrote that. He wrote Mission Impossible 1. He wrote Jurassic Park. He wrote War of the Worlds, which was another Spielberg thing. He wrote Jurassic Park, The Lost World, if you like that. So, I mean, he has, I think, a mixture of movies that people liked and movies people didn't like.
Right.
So it's not that he's an automatic bad choice.
No. But it's kind of like when people were all excited about Lawrence Kasdan coming back for Star Wars. It's like, okay, yeah, he did Empire Strikes Back. He also did Return of the Jedi. And much more awfully, he did Dreamcatcher, which was one of the worst movies ever made. And so, you know, it's not an automatic slam dunk. And so I suppose when the inverse is true here, it's not an automatic failure. But it's just, it would have been good, at least for publicity's sake, for Spielberg to say, let's mix it up a little. People didn't like that last one.
Yeah. I just want to get my early prediction out there. You know, this announcement just came out last week. So here we are within the first week. I just want to say, I predict that Indiana Jones dies in this movie. Harrison Ford.
Not a chance.
Harrison Ford gets killed in this movie.
I mean, that could be a good choice, but I think Spielberg is too sentimental to do that.
So I didn't see Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. However, it is one of my, it's on my bench list for the top 25 for next year.
Right.
So without giving too much of the plot away, I know Shia LaBeouf or LaBeouf came on
LaBeouf
in the last movie to be his son.
Right.
Is there any chance that they'll continue with that storyline?
I don't think there's a chance.
Is it because of the fourth movie's plot or because of Shia LaBeouf?
Both. I think, the plot-wise, it would make sense to do it, but I think they will pretend as though the fourth movie didn't exist.
Okay.
Kind of like, and it's a little easier because Temple of Doom is a prequel, but kind of like we never speak of it again in terms of Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom is a prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah.
I never do that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I kind of feel like if I am going to watch Last Crusade, I should probably watch Raiders of the Lost Ark and Temple of Doom over again.
I feel like you should watch Raiders of the Lost Ark and skip Temple of Doom, because this might be a controversial statement, and believe me, I don't like either one, but I think Temple of Doom is worse than Crystal Skull.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Did you bring those movies for me tonight?
No.
What kind of friend are you?
I know.
It's okay. I'm busy trying to catch up on Daredevil anyways.
Yeah, Daredevil's out. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's not on our news list, but I started watching that here on Sunday night. It's only Tuesday, so I'm already 4 episodes in.
Yeah, I'm 6 episodes in.
Yeah, so
I'm enjoying it so far.
Yeah, so far so good. You know, I don't really ever set time aside just to watch TV. I was thinking about this. Almost every single show I watch, I'm doing something else while that's on.
Yeah.
Maybe something around the house. Maybe I'm hanging with the family. either way, I never just like say, okay, tonight I'm going to sit down and watch this TV show. But
some quality TV time.
For Daredevil, I had a little downtime on Sunday evening where Dez and Lily were out, and I basically treated it like a movie. Just shuttle the lights off, relax on the couch, turn the Daredevil on. It's like a movie watching experience. Loved it.
Yeah.
So far I'm really enjoying it, but I think I do agree with you, even though it's early in the season, it feels good, but not as good as season one.
I agree. But still, I would place it number two so far in all the MCU things they've done.
Right. Great. Well, let's take a quick break before we get into our next piece of news to talk about the water fund that we are raising money for this year. So you guys are doing awesome. I'm going to give you the total here in a minute.
All right.
But everybody should go to onedayswages.org/the Sci-Fi Christian. Ben, we've got a bunch of nice messages from people. I think we read Amy's last time, but I'm just going to read it again since it's short.
Okay.
She says, I second the idea to make Matt stay on the podcast if we can reach 5,000. And that is something people have been talking
about. How about 500?
Just wait till you hear the new total.
Okay.
Michael, not Mike Poteet from the website, but a different Michael. I could say his last name. He put it on there. Michael King.
Right. If they go to the website, they're going to see all their last names.
He says,
bad job at anonymity, people.
What a worthy cause and a great project for the Sci-Fi Christian community to get behind, but that's merely an Australian perspective. Well, hey, we have the same perspective here in the States, so thank you for that, Michael.
Yeah, g'day, mate.
Brian, who long-time listener. I don't know if he's a long-time listener, but definitely an avid listener right now.
He's a listener.
Brian Kozer, write it into me. We've emailed before. Tell me how long you've been listening. I forgot. He says, my favorite podcasts either challenge what I believe or are the fun hanging out with the hosts type. Sci-Fi Christian is the best because it hits both of those notes perfectly. Thanks for all your work. And Brian and his wife, I think it's his wife. It might be his sister.
That's his wife.
You know? Okay. Says, Matt, don't leave. So thank
I just
you.
Know because I'm Facebook friends with him, not because I'm like stalking or anything.
Thank you, Kozer family.
Yeah.
And
that is why we're the best.
He gave what was the biggest gift up until this point. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be telling about amounts. I mean, it is on the website.
Yeah,
it's really obvious. So he gave
130.
That was our biggest gift so far from anyone. But down the list, somebody beat him. Mike from the website, Mike Poteet, he gave some money after selling some books. And then, so thank you, Mike. Then Branson Rogers. Now, we've never heard from Branson as far as I can remember. Do you recognize his name?
No.
$200, Branson. Thank you.
Wow.
I greatly enjoy the podcast and I love the cause. So thank you to everybody. I mean, any amount is awesome. So thank you. Not to just set Branson aside. However, as of right now, he is the highest gift.
His amount is more awesome.
So far, Ben, we've raised $815.
Then you get to stay.
Because
the goal was 500?
No, 5,000.
Oh.
So here we are, March 22nd, as we are recording, 2016, $815. I mean, people, we're almost at 1,000, and once we're there, we're a fifth of the way there.
Right.
So let's just keep at it.
Good thing we're only a fifth of the way through the year, right? Well, no, a little more than that. Shoot.
So,
but that's okay. It can be a multi-year goal.
No, this is 2016 only.
Might need to lower that.
Come on, Ben. We could do this. Me and you have to jump on here and start backing up what we're saying here on the podcast with more money.
I did. I didn't even sell used books to do it.
I think you need can you outdo Branson's gift?
I think I could.
Right here on the podcast?
No, not right now. Someday.
So, again, thank you. Who did I read here tonight? Branson, Mike Poteet, Brian, Michael King, Amy, and everybody else. I've seen some other names on here from past weeks. We've talked about CJ, Jeremy, Magnus. Am I missing anybody?
Nope.
I think we got everybody. Thank you for your giving. Listeners, if you haven't given yet, go to onedayswages.org/the Sci-Fi Christian. It's our big initiative for 2016 to raise money for this water fund that brings clean water to areas around the world that need it.
Yeah.
All right. Next piece of news.
All right. Sally Field is not a fan of Aunt May, apparently.
No, it wasn't that. She didn't like Amazing Spider-Man. She didn't like the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think she was not a fan of Aunt May, played.
I guess I misread the headline a little, but that's good that, you know, people are coming out and having honest opinions that, look, I starred in crap. I'm going to be honest about it. I think accountability is a good thing.
I think she said it was basically not her type of film, basically. Necessarily that it was crap, but just that she didn't necessarily like it.
Yeah, but it was crap. All right. Let's see, what else do we go? Oh, big news for all you Gotham fans out there, all 10 of you. Third season coming up. So,
I can't believe the show is still on. I'm a Batman fan, and I stopped watching. I'm a huge Batman fan. Right. I couldn't get through it.
Even I tried that one, and I've ignored on most of the superhero TV shows. It's also... Okay, so this is bizarre. I'd forgotten about this till I just saw this headline here in my save news, but I remember seeing this and being perplexed. Speaking of Gotham, it may be getting a spinoff, and do you know what character the spinoff might star?
I heard it might star Alfred.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean anything to me.
It's going to be like an HGTV cleaning show or something?
I think he's more of a war hero slash sort of spy type character in Gotham.
Because at this point, Bruce Wayne isn't Batman. I mean, I haven't been keeping up with the show, but I assume Bruce Wayne's not doing too much Batman-like activities. Right. So it's just, it's tough being a single dad when you're not really the dad. He might live in a mansion, but can he contain that billionaire preteen? Find out on this week's Alfred. They should do it as a comedy. Yeah, it's a great sitcom. And they should call it Oh, Alfred.
That's great. I hope Fox is listening.
I'm doing such a great job at pitching movies lately. Waldo last time, and Oh, Alfred this time.
This is really good.
This stuff writes itself.
Yeah, all I know about Gotham is that whenever I see headlines about it, all of the article writers are like, Gotham just got crazier.
Yeah.
What's happening on that show?
Right.
So,
well, why not throw in an Alfred spinoff?
Why not? Daisy Ridley, who was Rey in Force Awakens, has confirmed that she's in talks to play Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider reboot. Would you like to see that?
I prefer not to see a Tomb Raider reboot, so no.
What do you think about Daisy Ridley as an actress?
I thought she was fine in Star Wars. I guess I'd want to see her in a movie that actually emphasizes acting.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get that.
Before I give a judgment on it, which isn't a criticism of Star Wars.
Yeah,
it's just
those
big budget movies don't really showcase your acting qualifications most of the time.
All right. What's up next?
Well, if you're looking forward to the Crow reboot, the director is out. So there's that. Zack Snyder says that the 300 sequels might go out of Greece and could even involve George Washington in U.S. history.
Yeah,
so I think we all want to see that.
You told me this off the air, and I think that sounds crazy. And then it reminded me, didn't we hear that he wanted to do sort of an American Revolution 300 style movie? Yes. Do you think that this was what he was talking about, actually?
I think so. This is Boston! It's got to be great. Actually, it probably won't be.
Oh, man.
He's also, speaking of crazy projects, he wants to adapt Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead.
No, I'm unfamiliar with this.
Are you familiar with Ayn Rand?
Yes.
Okay.
Atlas Shrugged?
Atlas Shrugged, right. So this is the other one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a series?
No, but it's her other really long book.
Okay.
Yeah, I've read them all. I'm not a big Ayn Rand fan now, but I feel like during college, most of us either go through a phase where we obsess over Karl Marx or Ayn Rand, and then we get out of college into the real world and we sane up a little bit. So I was on the Ayn Rand side of that equation, and now I've saned up a little bit, at least in that area.
In college, I remember being really into Dr. Mario and Survivor.
Well, that's a whole different scenario, I suppose. And you're still into Survivor.
I still am into Survivor, but I've cut back on my Dr. Mario.
Well, maybe it's a good thing you didn't go full Marx on us.
Did you hear which two, speaking of Zack Snyder, which two Batman villains were close to appearing in the upcoming Batman versus Superman?
The Joker, which I could understand, and the Riddler, which seems like an odd choice.
Yeah, that does seem like an odd choice. I'm glad they're holding on to Riddler for a future Batman film, though, because that's one of my favorite villains, so...
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman coming up this Thursday, and Ben,
I bailed on you.
We've been covering it on the air. You begged me to let you come with me and my friends.
I did, but then it was Holy Thursday, so Jesus won.
I bought you a ticket,
yeah,
and all of a sudden I get this message: can't make it after all. If you can't find somebody to take your ticket, I'll pay you back.
Yeah,
I found somebody.
Oh, good.
That's all right. So you're off the hook. Whew. But Batman versus Superman this Thursday, two days from.
Are you excited?
I'm getting excited now that it's getting closer. Do you still need me to go with you eventually?
Let's see how the reviews are looking.
Some of the reviews are out already, but I've been avoiding them. Have you had a chance to
see them? I want to see like the critic reviews. Like they had like the fanboy reactions who saw it at the premiere, which, oh boy, you found a Batman fan to go to the premiere and they gave it a positive review. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
No, let's see what the critics are actually saying.
I don't know why, but I'm starting to feel, it's just the hype as I'm getting closer, but I'm starting to feel optimistic that might be good after all. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll do an episode on it, I'm sure, in the next couple weeks, and we'll get back to you with our thoughts.
Right.
I mean, if you see it this weekend,
I could.
We could do next Tuesday.
I mean, I could still go to on Thursday night, just like I did with Star Wars, where I went later on opening night.
Oh yeah,
and I was the only one in the theater. A very sad experience.
You could. Well, maybe I should just go with you late Thursday night.
Yeah.
So see it, and then when it's over, meet up with you, and I think our friend Kobe is going to need to see it with somebody.
Wow. Are you really? You don't want to see 5 hours of Batman v Superman.
I've never seen a movie back to back in the theaters before.
It seems like it would be a horrible experience.
I'll think about it. I'll get back to you. I'll talk to Kobe and see how serious he would be about that.
Okay.
All right. Next piece of news.
Well, should we talk about The Little Prince?
Yeah. So I'm going to be honest and say I didn't know that they were working on a Little Prince cartoon.
Right.
I just finished that book. It's a book of Lost. So I'm surprised you and I haven't done an episode on it yet.
Well, we should just hold off till we see the movie now.
Right, yeah. So I guess Paramount was about to release it just in a week or so here.
Yeah.
And for some reason, which I don't know the details on, they pulled the plug on it. And so then Netflix swooped in and rescued The Little Prince, and now it's going to be debuting on Netflix eventually.
Right.
Do you know the story? Why did Paramount, they've already started marketing because I've seen merchandise in stores about this movie.
It's probably because it sucks.
That's pretty much the only explanation, right? Yeah. Like, they're not going to pull the plug on a good movie.
No.
It has a voice cast that's relatively well-known. Not that that's going to make the movie good, but I'm just saying somebody must have at some point thought this was a good idea.
Right. Oh, yeah. Ricky Gervais, Jeff Bridges. I thought it was in French. I think I was thinking because the original novel is in French, right, that this was a French movie.
So I'm excited to see it on Netflix. I'll definitely watch it, and then we could do a movie review / Books of Lost episode.
Right.
All right, perfect. Let's talk about Ready Player One.
Okay.
Two pieces of news revolved around that. First, on the movie front, Simon Pegg is in talks to join Steven Spielberg's version of this story. In book news, I don't know if you're going to like this, but I'm just going to put it out there for you.
Uh-oh.
The author of The Martian, Andy Weir, wrote for his website on his blog a fake prequel story to Ready Player One. A short.
Why?
Kind of like a short fan fiction type thing.
Oh.
Hey, it's not. Yeah, it wasn't part of the book. It was just fan fiction.
See,
but
there goes any chance of me reading The Martian. I just lost respect for the author.
Just because he read Ready Player One, loved it, and immediately just wanted to write something in that world. So he posts on his blog, the author of Ready Player One, Ernest Klein, saw it, loved it, and declared it canon. And now, in new versions of the book being published, they're putting that as an appendix. They're putting the new prequel story, which is no longer fan fiction.
Oh, no. Stop legitimizing fan fiction. It's garbage. If you love a book and it inspires you to write, let it inspire you to write something new of your own.
Now, I haven't read his fan fiction intro prequel story, so I don't know. Actually, I don't really know why that would. I don't think that Ready Player One needs a prequel necessarily because
I don't think so
the world's
either.
Pretty well established, but I'd probably read it. It's available online to read for free right now, so fans can go find that online. I'll check it out.
All right.
All right. Can I tell you one more piece of news?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have anything on this movie Allegiant by any chance?
Yes, I do. Do you have me muted?
No.
You've got this muted. Oh. Something's muted.
What, did you just try to play a song?
I did. Oh, I might be muted.
Okay, there you go.
Encouraging song.
Uh-oh. I don't think that's working at all. Let's just call it.
Well, it was going to be the
signs. Encouraging signs.
That just died. That's sad.
Try it one more time.
Okay. Encouraging signs. Encouraging signs. It bombed. It bombed.
So
what a glorious thing. The YA dystopian trend is over.
Not over. Probably dying.
Yeah.
But there is some really interesting news wrapped around this. So Divergent has a trilogy in book form. Dez and myself read the first book and didn't like it so much so that even myself, who I like to complete things once I've started them,
yeah,
I decided I can't spend any more time reading this series. It was okay, but not good enough to read on. And we'd heard such bad things about books 2 and 3, especially book 3. So we cut and run. Dez read Wikipedia just to know what was going to happen and confirmed with me, not worth it. Okay.
Right.
So I've never even seen the first movie. Dez did go see the movie with some friends, but so I haven't seen the movie. The first one did well. And then the second one, which I don't remember the title of, didn't, or I think that
Insurgent.
Did
Insurgent.
Insurgent did so-so or good. I don't know for sure. But Allegiant, the third book/movie came out this past weekend.
And bombed
bad.
Gloriously.
Interestingly, Lionsgate, who's doing these movies, kind of, they rush these movies in a sense to kind of capture the same attention that Hunger Games had.
Right.
Hunger Games, you'll remember, had 3 books. But then made it into 4 movies, so they decided to do the same thing for Divergent.
Why not?
They have this 4th movie coming out called Ascendant. However, I guess, now again, I hadn't seen it, but the article I read said that basically all the Allegiant book material was expended in the Allegiant movie, so they don't know where they're going to go in this 4th movie. The studio has now cut the budget for Ascendant, this 4th movie. They're still saying it's coming out next year because they've been trying to hit 1 a year for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And into next year. But it sounds like instead of just pulling the plug altogether, they're going to complete their series, but they're just not going to invest a lot in it.
Well, I suppose that's a good thing. It's still depressing that these movies are being made, especially you look at the budgets. It's like $100 million budget, and how many masterpieces could be made with that money instead of the garbage that keeps being shoved down our throats. So, but I'm glad it's bombing. Even the Hunger Games, this last one, it seems like the enthusiasm has died down considerably. The Maze Runner, the guy killed himself or something on the set.
Yeah, I didn't.
Like he had an accident.
I didn't put this news down, but I don't know. I don't know the details because I didn't capture the news here, but
yeah.
I guess the
he's
lead,
not actually dead.
The lead star of Maze Runner injured himself pretty severely on the set, and so I'm sure that filming is on hold.
Yeah, I think he came down with a bad case of sick of being in bad movie-itis. So,
do you have any idea what his injury was by any chance?
No, I don't.
No, I don't either.
No, maybe a little Harrison Ford scenario.
Yeah, door fell on his foot.
Yeah. So that's great that movie is
not that
on
he's
hold.
Injured.
No, but the movie isn't in production. Like, I'm not so sadistic. I want the people to actually die who are in them. But it's just enough. Move on. And don't move on to a new trend. Move on to thinking. Like, as I've said before, let's make that an event.
Now, if you had to guess.
Oh, here's. I have.
We don't need more events. All right.
How about thinking? Make that an event.
I stand by those words.
So we've seen the vampire trend. I think we're still, in a sense, in the midst of the zombie trend on TV, at
because least. Walking Dead is going to run for 78 more seasons before it's over.
If you think we're kind of running at the end of the dystopian young adult fiction trend, what do you see on the horizon? If you're just honest, not that you want this,
right.
But what do you see?
Gosh, I don't know. I haven't been keeping my ear to the, I was going to say to the grindstone, but that's your nose you keep to the grindstone.
I think you keep an ear to the ground.
Ear to the ground in terms of what the latest trend is in young adult thinking. I mean, I think they're going to try and bring Harry Potter back with this magical beast, and superheroes are still going on, so we could all use a few more dozen of those per year. I don't know.
I think the trend is reboots and remakes.
Well, that's true.
So we'll be talking more about that next week.
Yeah.
Speaking of reboots, CBS is rebooting MacGyver, as I've been covering, and they have cast the new MacGyver. It's one of the stars of X-Men First Class, the guy who played Havok, Lucas Till.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have strong feelings about him as an actor, but I love MacGyver as a character. I think I'm against the reboot then.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
The director of 28 Weeks Later, which I haven't seen, I saw 28 Days Later, is going to be directing an adaptation of Turn of the Screw, which I believe is a book of Lost.
It is. It is a book of Lost.
Right. And is a fantastic novel.
I should read that next year.
You should. And so I'm excited. If he does a good job, and I don't know anything about this director, beyond that he directed a movie I didn't see, so I can't really comment on it that much. But hey, little Henry James, little intelligence mixed into the list. Can't go wrong.
Hey, speaking of a book update, as you guys know, listeners, I've been trying to read through every book that I own.
Right.
So that by the end of 2016, I will have read every book I own. If I get to a book and I decide I'm not going to read this, I'm selling it and I'm giving the money to this water fund. So I checked out all the books I have left that I haven't read, told Ben about this through Facebook. I'm at about 60 books left.
That's
awesome. That's really doable because I've already finished 25 since the beginning of this year.
You're on a roll.
So I think I'm on track. Yeah, I'm easily on track.
Yeah.
So all indications are this is going to happen.
That's Captain. Awesome.
Speaking of Captain.
Yes.
I saw the trailer for Captain America Civil War that featured Spider-Man.
I haven't watched it.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, I was interested to get your thoughts on it. So that's not going to go well.
Nope.
I don't think we covered this on the show, but I was so pumped to see it. I know it's just a fan moment for me,
yeah.
But I loved that trailer. I wish you would have watched it.
See, I didn't care.
Yeah, I got that. So,
I feel like based on that alone, you can infer what my reaction would have been.
So Jeremy Renner, who plays Hawkeye, has said he's open to moving Hawkeye into the Netflix series model rather than have a movie.
Of course he is. So that's where all the good writing is taking place.
Well, that's good to hear, though, don't you think? That he'd rather, maybe not rather, but he's at least open to doing a Netflix series rather than just waiting for a Hawkeye movie, which will never happen.
Yeah, and the movies haven't gone too well for him. It's, you know, Thor, you get to just stand in a tower and we pretend like you're somebody. Avengers 1, you just walk around brainwashed the whole time. Avengers 2, we just see your farm and that's it. And really, you have no point being in this world because you have no superpowers whatsoever. It's like, you know, if you're a good marksman, great. Why not use a gun? Like, you're using a medieval weapon. You're wasting your talent. Your one skill is that you're really good as a marksman, and you're wasting it on bows and arrows.
You know, we don't even know if he's good with a gun.
That's
true. It could
true.
Just be that he's only good with an arrow.
They tried him out with the gun. Nope. Give me the arrows. What a ridiculous character when it comes right down to it. What does he do?
You know, character-wise, the character is interesting in comics. I know this is not comics, so it's not necessarily his power that makes him...
Or lack thereof.
...who he is, you're right. Yeah. But I don't think that's been able to really transition into film well. Yeah, I don't think Hawkeye was the best choice to put in these series of movies.
No.
He basically needs to have a Netflix series. Like what else? Actually, though, I don't know if I really want to see a Hawkeye series. I think I'd be fine... Like, if somebody's going to die in Civil War, just let Hawkeye die.
Maybe that's why he's like, there's still time to re-edit the movie. I like cashing these checks.
All right, what's your next piece of news?
I don't know if I have any more. I might be tapped out.
I got some more news.
All right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger said there is going to be another Terminator movie. Do you believe him?
What did I just say? It was fun, and now we're done. That needs to be the motto.
We've been covering the news that they... canceled plans for the next Terminator movie. So what's he talking about here?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me because it made a few trillion dollars in Asia when it opened there. It bombed here, but it was a huge hit over there. So I guess that it could happen.
Amber Heard, who is an actress I don't know much about, has been cast as Mara.
Would you say you haven't
heard of her? She's been cast as Mara, who is Aquaman's girlfriend in Justice League.
Oh.
She also has water powers.
Right.
That's all I know. I'm sorry.
Like, what are water powers?
Well, they're actually different than Aquaman, whereas Aquaman can just breathe underwater and control fish.
Right.
She can control water, like telekinesis style.
Yeah.
So those are water powers.
That's awesome.
All right. Disney.
So So all he can do is control fish?
And he also is super strong.
So if you just sit on the shore where there are no fish, you're pretty much safe.
No, well, he's super strong, and I'm sure he has good warrior fighting skills.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fish thing is helpful, but not necessarily his number one asset.
Right. I mean, that could be really helpful in certain circumstances and completely useless in others.
That's right.
Yeah.
Disney had a 1980s movie called Black Cauldron. Never saw it. But it looks like they're taking another shot at that series because they got the rights back to the book series that's from The Chronicles of Prydain. Have you heard of this?
No.
I think Black Cauldron is actually the title of the second book, but they're going for it. New franchise.
Well, we could always use more of those.
All right.
Here we go.
Batman v Superman reviews, critics weigh in with first reaction.
No, don't tell me. I don't want to know this.
Okay.
I don't like to be influenced. You can read it, though, to yourself.
All right. I'm going to read it to myself.
Robert Downey Jr. has said he doesn't think an Iron Man 4 is in the cards. I don't know if that means something's going to happen to his character. Or I'm pretty positive that Robert Downey Jr.'s version of Tony Stark, maybe let me say it a different way. I think Tony Stark is going to die in the next few movies. It's Civil War, but more likely, I'd say he's going to die in Infinity War Part 1.
Yeah.
Because he can't keep on doing these movies forever.
Can't wait to move on to all those C-list superheroes.
Let's see. J.K. Rowling has confirmed that Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them will be a trilogy.
Oh, that's disappointing.
You had to know that was going to happen. Yeah, they're basically making up a new franchise.
I like how J.K. Rowling's just... She just goes on Twitter and invents new things about Harry Potter on a daily basis. It's ridiculous. It's like everything about sequels and remakes and extending these movies to 27 when 2 would do, just brought to its natural conclusion. Like, we're just going to make crap up on a daily basis via 140 characters, each one, which can be adapted into its own movie.
You know, maybe you and I should tease what we're going to talk about next week. So we've already talked about revivals in the past, but the twist that we're going to talk about next week is we're going to look at some of the recent revivals and see how they've been successful. We're going to look ahead and guess if they will be, but we're also going to look at the history of revivals, and I'm going to propose that possibly it's not a new, as new a phenomenon as we think it is, but maybe it got its start with a lot of these film sequels.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think you're onto something. I think I'll share my thoughts later.
But you have some thoughts on that. I do have some thoughts. Because we've been talking about this on Facebook extensively.
Do you want to know the Rotten Tomatoes percentage now?
No, I do not want to know.
Do you want
to? I'm guessing it's not good. Fine, just give it to me.
41%.
All right. So maybe temper my expectations.
Temper your expectations.
Okay.
I just want to read one thing.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
This is Batman versus Superman.
In Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, The Dark Knight, and The Man of Steel duke it out, and the audience loses. What a fantastic review.
Peter Capaldi has confirmed that he is going to be appearing on the Doctor Who spinoff called Class.
What's that about?
That's that teen one with a school and whatever. Disney has confirmed that they have no plans to have an R-rated Marvel movie, even though DC's been talking about their R-rated movies, and of course Fox has Deadpool.
I thought DC said that Suicide Squad was PG-13.
Well, remember they released the news that Batman v Superman is going to have an R-rated version on the DVD?
That's 30 minutes longer.
Oh, really?
3 hours.
Wow. Gene Roddenberry's son is going to be helping with the new online-only Star Trek series.
Oh.
It's interesting.
Gotta keep the family money going somehow.
So even though we talked about Spider-Man being over in the Avengers Marvel Cinematic Universe, Sony does technically still have the rights to his Spider-Man family. So they're moving forward with a Venom movie franchise not related to Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Don't they still have the rights to Spider-Man?
Yeah, they do, but they're sharing them. Right.
But I mean, they legally they still could just do their own Spider-Man. I don't know what the agreement is.
They still are with the animated film, but not the live action. I'm sure they have some sort of...
I can't imagine a Venom movie being any good.
Well, not without Spider-Man.
No.
Yeah, I think at this point, Disney must have had... Even though Sony owns the rights, Disney must have worked out something to have him in the Avengers universe. So they're not going to be able to just have another live action Spider-Man appearing in their movies. Joseph Gordon-Levitt has left the Sandman film...
Didn't we cover this last time?
I don't think we did. It's been around for a while, but I don't think we covered it, did we? Basically, it's over creative differences. He's not going to star or direct it anymore.
Yeah, it's sad news.
Disney has said they're going to have a live-action Nutcracker movie coming out.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
I don't really like the Nutcracker.
Okay. Like, I do have as music?
Yeah. Well, no, the music's fine.
Or the musical?
The story just kind of falls flat. I do have a squirrel Nutcracker in my office. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I don't know if I have either.
I'll have to show it to you sometime.
Well, we talked about Michael Keaton.
It does exactly what it's supposed to do. It cracks those nuts open.
That's great. We talked about Michael Keaton kind of having a resurgence in his career. He just was cast in a CIA action thriller called American Assassin.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to see Michael Keaton as an assassin.
Right.
I think he can do it.
It's actually, do you know what that's based off of? I don't know if you're familiar with Vince Flynn.
Yes.
A Minnesota author. Yeah. That's one of his, he died a few years ago, but yeah, that's one of the books in his series.
Apparently. I like Vince Flynn.
Yeah, I haven't read him in a long, long time. But
so is American Assassins the title of one of his books?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, great. This is a rumor, but Aaron Paul, who was Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad, is said to have been cast in the Dark Tower film as Eddie.
Yeah, that would be very good casting.
Yeah, that would be very good casting. Yeah. But basically because Eddie, well, maybe we shouldn't say too much about the character, but I think it's similar to Jesse in some ways.
Right.
So,
drug problems.
Drug problems, correct. Let's see. I'm trying to think of as we're winding down here, what I want to say for last news of the day. Well, Better Call Saul was renewed for season 3.
That's fantastic. Are you watching the new season?
I haven't started yet. I just haven't had time. I want to. I'll probably do it during the summer. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Do you want to do another review like we did last year, or do you think it's not really worth it?
Let's see if we have new things to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams says that a movie is still in the works for both Half-Life and Portal.
Yeah, I'd like it better if there was actually a game in the works for Half-Life, since they never finished that story. I mean, these could be okay. I don't want J.J. Abrams to do them, though, because he just makes lukewarm garbage. And it's not bad, it's not good. And I feel like the potential is there to do something really good with these stories, and he is the wrong man to do them.
Marvel's Luke Cage is going to premiere on Netflix this fall. I've got a great last news of the day you're going to love.
Okay.
CW has renewed their full lineup, not just their sci-fi shows, but everything that's on CW has been renewed.
Why make new crap when you can just keep renewing the old crap?
Hey, I like Flash. I think that's a good one. I don't love Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow is hit or miss. All right, last news of the day?
Yeah, let's do it.
Last news of the day has to do with Star Trek Beyond. I think I might have sent you this news because I thought it was so funny.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
They're starting to do reshoots, and they've added a brand new cast member. This is not a good sign for that movie.
No.
Because that movie comes out this summer.
Yeah.
So they just added a new character who, I don't know how pivotal the character is, but it's a relatively well-known actress who's appeared in such things as 24.
Right.
So, Ben, is this bad news for Star Trek Beyond?
Absolutely. This movie's going to be a disaster.
Any other thoughts?
Nope.
All right, let's do story time because everybody's been waiting for it. We're going to hold off on listener feedback. I do have some here, but we have a big Hamlet episode coming up next.
Yes.
Why are you laughing? You don't want to...
No, I'm just laughing because I'm getting in the zone for the story.
Okay.
Okay, I'm you're ready. Like,
you're psyching yourself up?
I'm psyching myself up.
I'll see. I think the story time is going to go a little long, so we're going to hold off on some listener feedback.
I think it will, too.
But thank you for the listeners writing in. Keep doing it. Feedback@thescifichristian.com. We will read it eventually. All right, here we go. Sci-Fi Christian story time.
It's Sci-Fi Christian story time.
Catch everybody up, Ben.
All right.
Remind the people that I was going to go with you on this thing.
Yeah, well, maybe we should start. So this is story time. I went on vacation again, which eventually I'm going to learn not to do that. But I went down to C2E2 in Chicago. With those of you who aren't familiar with it, that's the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo. So it's like, you know, a Comic-Con type thing. And the place to start in terms of why I did this is to go back 2 years ago when I went the first time.
Okay.
And actually, I know this strains belief, but I actually had a really good trip. That doesn't happen to me very much. So our friend Rick Lee James, by the way, before I forget, Rick Lee James's new CD just came out. So you should all go download it or buy it from him, rickleejames.com. It's good stuff. So go check that out. So anyway, our friend Rick Lee James, we've had him on the show a lot of times. He's a great guy. He lives in Ohio. We live in Minnesota. So he had suggested, let's meet up, you know, in person, and let's go to C2E2. He'd been before. He said it's fun.
I think this year, actually, I might have been the one that was really strongly pushing for it.
You were, and then you still bailed.
But, well, what happened, I'll just tell that part of the story real quickly. It turned out that my wife, who's a high school teacher, had her spring break this exact week, and we ended up doing a little mini vacation of our own. So I was also out of town.
Right.
So, sorry about that, Rick.
That's okay.
I hated to let you down.
Yeah.
All right. I don't really mind.
We hated you letting us down,
too. I don't mind letting Ben down, but I didn't want to let poor Rick down. So, okay, continue. I wasn't there, but I should have been.
Well, yeah. I mean, the bed situation would have been even worse than it turned out to be if you had been, so I think it's okay. So, anyway, 2 years ago, I go down to C2E2 for the weekend, and normally that thing's, you know, a con like that isn't necessarily my type of thing, because there's people all over the place. You know, I'm pretty introverted, and so I don't necessarily like the big crowds, but there's fun stuff to see. There was a few panels that I really enjoyed. I got to meet up with Rick. In some ways, I just had more fun just kind of walking around Chicago with Rick and, you know, getting that great Chicago pizza, Geno's East. I met Dan Ford in person for the first time.
What? Not the first time. I've met him with
No. Last time, I'm still back. I'm still back in the good C2E2 trip. Okay.
Okay. So, I was like, what are you talking about? We just hung out with him.
Yeah, I met him for the first time when I was down there 2 years ago. Really enjoyed getting to know him. And then we became better friends because of that. So all in all, really good trip. If there was a downside to the trip, it was probably the fact that it's a little expensive to stay down there, both in terms of hotel costs in downtown Chicago and in terms of parking, like just to leave your car. Like we just parked the car and left it there. And it was $40 a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's expensive. It's spendy. So we're getting ready. Now you have to listen to the story time.
I'm listening.
Okay. I see you typing.
I'm doing some.
You gotta take this in.
I'm doing some organizing that's not taking my mind away from you.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to miss the glories of this story.
I'm gonna be reacting and interacting like crazy.
Okay. So it's 2016 now, and as Matt just said, we were pushing to go again, and that all didn't work out. But me and Rick are going.
Right.
So we're got it all planned out. And a few months ago, Rick says, hey, I think I have a plan where we won't have to pay for a hotel this time around. All right. That's good, because I'm thinking, okay, we're going to have all the fun of last time, none of the expenses.
Uh-huh.
This is good deal. Okay? So the way that Rick is going to do this is because he is a singer-songwriter. He's a worship leader. He is scheduled to perform at a church when we're down there, as well as doing some different interviews and everything for his new release. And so he talks to the guy who's his contact at the church and says, hey, is there anybody in your church who might just be willing to put a couple of guys up for the weekend? They don't need to see us. You know, we just need a place to stay. We're not going to be in their way at all. They, you know, we're not asking for anything. We just want a place to crash at the end of the day. And so his friend says, oh, well, let me check. And so he comes back. Yes, I've got a place for you guys to stay. It's an older couple. They love having guests, and you're not going to be a problem at all. They would love to have you. Fantastic. All full speed ahead. So the first hiccup or potential sign of danger came this last Wednesday. It was. So we showed up on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And so Wednesday, when Rick got an email from his guy, which essentially said they're still really excited to have you. They just wanted to let you know that it's not a hotel and they want you back at a reasonable hour. That's a very, very vague thing, which is a little suspicious because we'd been sold that this was a separate apartment from the whole house with its own separate entrance. Okay, that's, but you know, they'll probably still give us a key or something. And they just don't want to slam in the door at midnight. We'll be back like 10, 11 o'clock, whatever. That's no problem. Okay, so the day of comes around. It's Thursday. So my travel plans are I'm coming down Thursday. I'm going to be there all of Friday, and then I'm going to leave Saturday afternoon. And as I was getting ready to go on Wednesday, I was kind of thinking, man, you know, maybe I should have just stayed till Sunday. I didn't because I had to do something at church for Palm Sunday this last week. But I could have found a sub. I was thinking maybe I should have just found a sub. And then the voice in the back of my mind says, Ben, this is a vacation. And at some point on this vacation, you are going to be thanking God that you are leaving on Saturday. Okay? So we get there. It's like 5 o'clock or so, 4:30 or something on Saturday. And I find the house.
Not Saturday.
Thursday. I find the house. Rick gets there. I kind of just wait in the car until he gets there
because
I don't want to just awkwardly go in and meet these people. And so, welcome, guys. Come on in. And so,
how old are we talking?
Mid-80s.
Okay.
Mid-80s. Okay. So they invite us in. Come on up to the living room. Okay. So we come on up to the living room. Now, that's okay. Like, a little nervous because, like, well, we don't really want to socialize, but we want to be polite. They're letting us into the house. Okay. They want to know who's staying in their house. Totally reasonable. I noticed there's a lot of clutter all over the living room, which is a little weird. Like, not so much like garbage, but just a lot of stuff in this house. And that will become important in a few moments. So we're sitting there in the living room talking. Now, you have to understand that what Rick and I have been looking forward to is the night we get there, we're going to go get some Chicago pizza because we both loved that last time. We had a great time. We didn't eat a lot that day because we knew we were going to go gorge on Chicago pizza.
Oh, no.
Okay. So we're sitting there, we've talking to them for 15, 20 minutes. Okay, have you guys eaten dinner yet? Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Like, you just feel it sink inside you because you know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I'm worried it's going to be like there's a casserole in the fridge or something.
A hot dish,
yeah. So, no, we haven't eaten dinner yet. You're just bracing yourself. All right, we got a great place we're going to take you to. It's called Jedi's Garden. No relation to Star Wars.
Okay.
Let's just get that out of the way right now. We're going to take you to Jedi's Garden. It has great food. We go there all the time. There's a Thursday night special and everything. And you can't say no. You can't say no. So, of course, we say we would love that. All right. Now, okay. I don't generally like people taking me out to lunch, but I especially don't like it when I don't know the person because it feels really awkward to be sitting there looking at a menu and, you know, where normally I just want to go and I'm just going to get what I want to get and it costs what it costs, fine. Or if it's too much, it's my business or so. But when it's somebody paying for you and you don't know them, you feel really awkward. So there's like all this pressure to keep the price down and it's just, I don't like it. So already I'm feeling awkward. And then, okay, so should we follow you over there? Rick asks. No. We're going to take our minivan.
Oh, no.
Okay, so we go down and just kind of drop our bags off, head back up the stairs because we're going to be sleeping in the basement. Don't really have time to take in the full basement experience yet. That will be coming. And so we head off to Jedi's Garden. Rick and I pile into the back of the minivan and we start heading through the streets of Oak Lawn, Illinois to Jedi's Garden. At which point I start to think to myself, what just happened? I came down here to eat Chicago pizza and go to Comic-Con and hang out with Rick, and now I'm in the back of minivan driven by two 80-year-olds I don't know, going to a restaurant I don't want to go to. What is happening? Okay, so we show up at Jedi's Garden, and I think the best way to paint the picture of Jedi's Garden, you know, you can go on to Yelp or something and read the reviews, but there's one Yelp review in particular that describes it as a 70s Vegas diner that hasn't been updated in 50 years, and that is spot on for what this place is. Another way of describing it, you know Denny's?
Yeah.
Imagine worse than Denny's.
Okay.
So it's that type of place. Like, the menu's 78 pages long. They make everything and specialize in absolutely nothing. And so you kind of realize, you know, it's either young families or old people and nothing in between. And it's a zoo in there. So we get to Jedi's Garden, we get seated and everything, and you kind of can tell this is not going to be the meal that we were hoping for. So Rick orders the pasta because that was the Thursday night special. I order a mushroom Swiss hamburger, and we proceed to small talk as the meal winds on. Small talk consists of things like their flight to Texas 12 years ago. I'm not even making that up. And all the great times they've had at Jedi's Garden. Somewhere along the line, I need to back up for a second because Rick is down there. They know he's playing at their church.
Okay.
They don't quite understand who I am at this point.
Uh-oh.
Because, like, they understand Rick's there and I'm Rick's assistant, maybe. So at some point, the question gets asked, what church do you go to? To me, you can tell where this is going. I said, I go to a Catholic parish up in Minnesota. Oh, you know, and they're very friendly about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, they seem cool with it. But then the weird moment happens during dinner where the wife turns to me and she's talking about how grateful they are to have people in their house because when God gives you a good thing to do, you give it. And then she says with a bright smile on her face, and like, I had to check to see if I heard her correctly because she seemed so friendly saying it, but she said, I bet even in the Catholic Church you get opportunities to do good things sometimes. It was such a bizarre, like, there was no hostility in it. It was such a weird moment. Okay, so we finish up at Jedi's Garden. It's nasty. There's one point in the meal where Rick's slowing down. Oh, I don't know if I can finish this because it's a huge bowl of pasta. Uh-huh. And it's, oh, we'll get you a box to take home. And so he shovels it in because he's going to be forced to eat it later if he doesn't finish it. So, okay, time to go home from Jedi's Garden. At this point, I'm just trying to keep it together in the car because from my perspective, Rick is really, really good at making people feel comfortable, at being appreciative, and I'm doing my best, but I'm not as good at it as him. So I'm thinking Rick's having just a great time. Turns out he's feeling about the way I am. But, you know, at the moment, I'm like, Rick's having fun. He thinks this is wonderful. I'm dying. This is when I texted you for the first time.
And I loved getting these texts. I mean, I was on vacation myself, but one of my behind-the-scenes highlights was just hearing these different updates, and I was sharing them with Dez and my friends that we were on vacation with. I did want to ask you a quick question, just to clarify. Before, I'm sure some listeners are wondering, has Rick given you permission to share this story?
Yes, thumbs up.
Okay, because it's really more his deal than your deal.
Yeah, they're never going to listen to this. They're in their 80s.
Okay, so, yeah, I loved getting these text messages. I should almost... Should I get it?
Yeah, you can.
I'll go load it up real quick.
So, yeah, and then the other thing I should mention is that on the way out of Jedi's Garden, the employees offered to let us stay for improv night, which thankfully our host did not hear about.
That actually would have been kind of fun, I bet.
No, not at this place. All right, back at the house. It's now probably about 7 o'clock. And we head down to where our beds are going to be, except they're not quite beds. One of them is a fold-out couch, which is fine. The other one, which was my bed, which I'm trying to find a way to describe, it's like a little tiny chair that's about 2 feet wide, and the pad on the chair folds out onto the ground and is about 5 feet long, and for reference, I am 6 feet long. Okay, so you can imagine how well I slept on this trip. All right, so our hosts are down there with us. We just kind of want to be left alone at this point, but no, they're hovering. They're going to talk. They're getting out the bed sheets and everything for the bed. They want to make our beds for us.
What time did you say this was about?
It's like 7 o'clock.
Okay, because read this text that you sent to me at 7:40.
Oh, okay, so now this must have been later then. So this, because I sent this to you on the way home from Jedi's Garden. I said, early money is that you dodged a bullet on this trip. The people Rick found for us to stay with are in their 80s and determined to be hospitable in the most smothering, awkward way possible. That was very true. I might have sent that actually when we were down there during this part of the story. So they're getting out the beds and they're talking about how, you know, if you need anything, I just here, you go dig around for it. You know, they're being very nice. But they're definitely right there. It's like, we just kind of give us our sheets and leave us alone is what we wanted to say. But of course you can't say that. And then they talk about how they tried out the beds this week to make sure that they were okay, because we're not going to have a guest sleep in our home. And we don't know that the beds are good. So now we're just envisioning them like sleeping on our beds. Like, oh, well, this is pleasant. I hope these aren't the same sheets. You never know. So they stay down there for a very long time. We eventually convince them that they don't need to make our beds for us. And so, okay, fine. We'll be upstairs if you need anything. If you want to come up and watch TV with us, you come up and watch TV with us. They walk up. They lock the door. And
lock you in or lock them out?
They lock the... No, no, no. They lock the front door. Okay. So we can still get out, but the door is locked. It's 8 o'clock at night, and we are in for the night, and we are downstairs. And it is at this point that I really start to take in my surroundings down there. Now, the wife had made a comment on the drive home from Jedi's Garden that was a little peculiar at the time. She asked, do you guys collect anything? And I thought, that's kind of a weird question. But maybe she's just thinking because we're, you know, we had mentioned we're down here for the comic book thing. And maybe she's thinking people collect comics. Maybe she's just trying to relate to us.
Yeah.
No, it actually turns out that if we had reciprocated and asked the opposite question, do you collect anything? The answer would have been, yes, I collect everything. Because literally everything is down in this basement. I kid you not, there are hundreds. I'm not exaggerating. There are hundreds
of baby dolls down in this basement. And not even like the classy porcelain kind. I'm talking about the cheap plastic kind that have disturbing closed mouth smiles on their face.
This one.
Like that one.
You sent me some pictures.
Yes, I so there are pictures that go along with this. The type of doll where if you were to wake up at 3 a.m. and have it standing over your body holding a bloody knife, you would not be surprised. You might be horrified by that, but you would not be surprised because what else would you expect? The view from my bed featured 3 shelves full of such dolls and then a rifle hanging over the shelf of dolls. The view from Rick's bed, which is the picture you were just showing me, is about a 4-foot-high doll on a rocking horse. And what you can't see from that picture...
So this one?
Well, or that's one of the views from my bed, okay. Yes. Is that the doll is actually staring at itself in the mirror. It's making eye contact. And the thing is that the mirror's placement in the room is such that that's the only possible use for that mirror is for the doll to be looking at itself for all eternity. And it is horrifying.
I got that picture too, right here.
Exactly. Now, look at that picture. Look at the wall right behind the doll. Do you see that little crack in the wall?
Yeah.
So that actually opens up.
This place is
like
a...
Yes, there are hidden rooms in this basement. And it's like a Batman supervillain lair or something.
So did you look inside that room?
Yeah. Well, there's like sheets and stuff. And there's like, you know, and then there's another hidden room on the other side where their laundry room is. So they have hidden rooms all over this place. And there's dolls, there's guns, there are still in the packaging Barney and Fred Flintstone from the Flintstones movie from the early 90s. They saved those because those are really going to be worth something someday. And I said to turn to Rick after, you know, they were finally up, and I said, Rick, there's some really weird crap down in this basement. There's some really weird crap. Like, this is horrifying. It's like, it's this, what have I found? Where am I? What is going on? I came down to Chicago to eat pizza, go to C2E2 and hang out with Rick, and now I'm in a room surrounded by creepy-looking dolls sleeping on a mattress that is 5 feet when I am 6 feet. This is a disaster! So at this point, I'd really like to go home, but of course we have 2 days to go. Now, I should say that I did enjoy hanging out with Rick in the midst of this. Okay. Next, well, no, not wait, not next
don't
morning.
Don't worry about this one.
Oh, that's true. There's just a bag, like a sack hanging on the wall.
Like a big, giant purse.
Yeah, but and it's just long. Hanging on the wall.
Didn't he say that Rick said it? Oh, no, that was a joke. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I love the other update you sent that said 11:15.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. So there's two more things.
Okay.
So two other things that happened during night one before we can move on to day two. So night one, about 9 o'clock or so, Rick is going to run out to his car to get something. Now, you have to understand the geography of the house is that straight up from the basement is the front door. If you were to turn left at the top of the stairs, you would head up another small flight of stairs into the rest of the house. Okay? So Rick goes up. He unlocks the front door to go out to his car to get something. When he comes back, she's standing at the top of the stairs watching. Just making sure everything's okay, no doubt. But okay, that's a little weird. So the night rolls on. We can hear the TV upstairs. Eventually, the TV gets turned off. Rick and I start getting ready for bed. He goes into the bathroom and apparently bumps something slightly in there. I didn't hear a thing, but it was loud enough because clomp, 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 clomp. Down they come to check on us at 11:15 p.m. You guys okay down there? It's like, we're going to survive. We're grown men. Just leave us alone, please. All right.
Oh, man.
So then it's time to try and go to bed. I eventually fall asleep on my little cot thing and up for the next morning. Okay, breakfast time, because they are going to make breakfast for us. Or so they said. Actually, what they meant is that they're going to go and get some stale little... like banana bread type things.
What's this thing?
Oh, no, that's the next day when we snuck out for breakfast.
Okay.
That was not what they made for us. So breakfast, not very good. So over breakfast, the wife says, you work with computers, right? Because I made the mistake of mentioning this. Well, we've got a problem. We need to change the password
on our Yahoo email account because our friends keep getting sent spam. And we just got another phone call that they got sent another round of spam from our email.
Oh, my gosh.
So now, how do you change the password? It's asking for our security questions, and we don't remember what the answers to those are. We wrote them downstairs. We got to go downstairs. And so, fine. So I said, well, have you tried blah, 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 blah? She looks at me with a really blank stare. There's a long pause. And she reaches over and puts in her hearing aid. So eventually we get the Yahoo password changed. I am the great hero. Probably makes up for being a Catholic, but I don't know. So anyway, time to go. Now, this is Friday morning. Rick has an interview that he's going to be doing with
like
some
guy. Like a radio interview?
Yeah, well, it's called Under the Radar. It's like an internet. I don't know if it's a podcast or what, but they specialize on Christian music and stuff like that. So he was doing that. It's run out of the church he was at. So he's doing stuff with them. I go do my Chicago beer run and everything, and then, you know, I call my wife, and so fine. It's a fairly nice to have a little downtime after we've left for the morning. All right. They're going to take us out to lunch. Not the couple.
Wait. Real quick. Have you made it to C2E2 yet?
Not yet.
Sorry.
No.
So we're at Saturday lunchtime.
No, we're Friday lunchtime.
Friday.
Still no C2E2.
Okay.
Okay. Which is what we went down there for.
So who's taking out the lunch?
The guys that Rick is doing the show with. Really good guys. And we tell them we would love to get some pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, we know a great place. It was not a great place.
Uno's? Was it Uno's? No. Because I think I went to Uno's when I was in Chicago.
That's very sad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what a disappointment.
I had really bad Chicago pizza.
Yeah.
But from Uno's.
Yeah, this wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that great. And so now it's like, okay, we just ate Chicago pizza. And the cheese on it tasted like the cheese from mozzarella sticks.
Oh, I love that cheese, actually.
I do, too, but not in that context. So
I think I'd like it in that context.
A little weird. Anyway, that's all done. Time to head off to C2E2. At this point, my night on the sofa is starting to catch up to me because really tired. Okay, so we get to C2E2. We get parked. We get in there. It's time to go. You know, this is showtime and everything. Well, after about 2 hours of walking around the convention hall, I said to Rick, I feel like the time in life to go to these conventions has passed me by.
Oh, no. That means it's passed me by, too. And I haven't even been to one.
And he was kind of having the same reaction where you're just walking around and there's just stuff everywhere. Oh, and here comes a guy cosplaying. And by cosplaying, he thinks that means just don't wear any pants. He's not wearing any pants. It's like, I can't process this. There are too many people who should not be wearing this little of clothing. And they're all running around doing their cosplay thing. And I'm feeling like I'm 70 years old and I just walked into middle school. Okay, it started to be a really surreal experience. Like, I remember last time there was cool panels. There was no cool panels this time. John Cusack was their leading guest, which is, I like John Cusack as much as the next guy.
The guy who's running for president?
No, not John Cusack. That would have been kind of funny. I don't think he would have been very well received by that crowd. But it's just, you're just kind of walking around, and eventually
John Cusack was
there. Yeah, John Cusack is the leading guest. Like, last time Stan Lee was there, and they had, like, all these, they had the Game of Thrones people were there, and they had a panel on craft beer, and it was just wonderful. And now this time you're just walking around, and you're just wondering how many more people without wearing no clothing are going to just brush you by and make you feel really, really uncomfortable the whole time.
Wow.
And so you're just wandering around. I didn't buy a single thing the whole time. The one thing I was going to buy was these little squishy ball things for my kids. I'm glad I didn't.
Stress ball.
Yeah, kind of like that. Rick wound up buying one for his son, and he texted me and said that 3 minutes after getting home, it broke and is now in the garbage. So I'm glad I saved my money there at least. And that was pretty much the end of day two.
Man,
Oh,
I think I could have made the most of C2E2 because I've never been to a comic convention, like a big one.
I would go back with you because, yeah, I think it would be fun to go for your first experience.
Yeah.
But I
like,
don't...
I've been to some local shows, but nothing big like C2E2 or Comic Con.
Not the end of day two. That's the end of C2E2.
Never go back to C2E2.
I never went back to C2E2 again.
How much did that cost you to get in there?
$70.
For like 2 hours?
Yeah.
Man.
I know. What a waste of money. But I was just done. So then we decide, okay, you know, we don't want to go back to the house just yet and be locked in there from 8 o'clock on. So we're going to go bowling. All right. That's a fun thing to do. I can get a drink or something at the bowling alley and we'll have a good time. It'll be fun. We'll go bowling. Okay. Well, we get to the bowling alley. We find the bowling alley, finally, after a long time in the car. And we get to the bowling alley, and we walk in. And it's crowded, but we can see there's some empty lanes. And we walk up to the worker, and he says, "I don't have any lanes, guys." And we pause, because you're waiting for him to say something like, "It'll be a 20-minute wait." Or, you know, "It's league bowling night," or something, but... you know, some kind of explanation about when the circumstances will change. None. "I don't have any lanes, guys." The end. That's it.
Did you ask him more questions?
No, we turned around and we left.
Oh my gosh.
So eventually, you know, we went out to dinner and that was fine. We tried a couple other places. It didn't work out. There's a 50-50 chance I'm going to be getting a red light ticket in the mail. Even though I did not run a red light, I stopped at a red light to turn right, and the thing flashed at me. I don't know what's happening. So now I'm probably going to get a ticket out of this whole deal.
Keep us updated on that.
Then it's back to the house we go. Thankfully, we're late enough. We don't really need to see them. Back downstairs with the dolls. Night two, fall asleep, and wake up. We snuck, and then Saturday morning, I am absolutely dead because 2 nights on that cushion is more than any man should have to spend. We go out. We sneak out of the house for breakfast. Our plan is that we're going to try and get out of there without them noticing because we don't want to have breakfast
with them.
We didn't quite make that, but we did get out of there without having to have breakfast. We went to a place called Stacked, I think it was. Really good breakfast.
Yeah, I got a great picture of
it. Yeah, like I had pancakes and sausage and just fantastic. If you're in the Oak Lawn area, I recommend not Jedi's Garden, but I do recommend Stacked. Fantastic place. And then we went and we parked in downtown Chicago. We actually walked around the area we were staying last time, went to a used bookstore that we had liked going to last time. And it was fun, but it was also kind of depressing because it's like, oh, yeah, this was what the good trip was like.
Yeah.
And now we're not there. And then we went out for Gino's Pizza. I dropped Rick back off at C2E2 and I left.
Oh, man. Well, at least we made it to Geno's.
Yeah, well, at least we made it to Geno's.
Was it good?
Oh, yeah. So good.
I gotta get there.
Later on, so a couple updates from Rick on this, because he was there for one more night after this. So he got back and just by himself there, and because he didn't have a friend, they invited him up to watch the Hallmark Channel with them, which thankfully he was able to dodge before too long. But I think I can speak for both of us that getting back home to our beds was awesome. I was so tired though on Sunday. I can't remember the last time I was that exhausted. Just a surreal level of exhaustion. I felt like I hadn't slept at all, which probably was pretty close to the truth. All that to say, this vacation story is called Hotels. I'm sorry for all the bad things I ever said about you. Ladies and gentlemen, hotels may be gross. Hotels may be creepy. They may be evil, but I tell you what, they are a necessary evil in our lives. If you have the option to skip a hotel, do not do it. They are worth the money. They're expensive because they help you avoid sleeping on a 5-foot-long cushion with creepy dolls staring at you all night. And that is the most recent vacation in my life.
I think it's a winner.
Yeah.
I think that's a winner story.
I think it is too.
Oh, man, Ben. Well, thank you for enduring this.
Why does this keep happening to me?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening, but...
I told Rick, this is what happens when you go on vacation with me. What a disaster.
Well, Ben, Thank you for sharing that, Rick. Thanks for letting Ben tell that story. I can't wait till the next time you go on vacation. What do you think it'll be?
I don't think I'm ever going to go on vacation. I've learned my lesson. Never cross the state line.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.
Yeah, goodbye.